Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labour has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
The Reverend Dr. Russell Barr, former Killyman and also former moderator of the Church of Scotland, wrote an article this week, and it was published in the Scotsman newspaper, and this is it. He says, "A farm called the Tent of Nations is an inspiration to those working for peace in the Middle East. Glory to God in the highest," sang the Christmas angels, "and on earth be peace." And yet the tragedy is, 2,000 years later, peace is something that is conspicuous by its absence in Bethlehem, the town of Jesus' birth. All those years ago, the lives of people in ancient Palestine were subject to a Roman army of occupation. While today the landscape is now dotted with illegal settlements, and daily life is interrupted by military checkpoints and a separation wall. And Russell went on in his article to quote from the Reverend Dr. John McCulloch, who is the minister of St. Andrew's in Jerusalem. John and his family live behind the separation wall in Bethlehem, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. And like everyone else, their daily commute takes them back and forward through checkpoint 300 so that they are able to leave separation wall, go into Jerusalem, and then return through that separation wall in the evening. This is what John writes. On the other side, a cacophony of fruit sellers and taxi drivers call out to passers-by in the hope of earning a few more shekels. What strikes me after being here for the last 8 months is how crossing these checkpoints each day, surrounded by heavily armed soldiers, can become such a normalised activity. And yet, in a context of political, structural injustice and military occupation, it is important, as Martin Luther King Jr. once said, to remember that our lives begin to end the day we come silent about things that matter. Amid all of the darkness and the chaos of this place, I find inspiration from the Tent of Nations, where the Nasser family for 3 generations have tended their hilltop farm, harvesting their olives. And there is a sign at the beginning of the driveway to the Nasser farm that simply says, "We refuse to be enemies. The Christmas story delivers a message of hope to a world in conflict, pain, suffering. And the Nasser family and those like them, through their commitment to non-violence and their pursuit of justice and peace, bring to life the Christmas story here on earth, as it was all those years before."
Thank you. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
There's a voice crying in the wilderness, up and down the high street, through the railway arches. The voice says, "Get ready for God. Make the path straight. Repair the potholes and pavement cracks. Fill in the ditches, cultivate the wasteland, the mountains and hills, the empty office blocks, the power towers, all will be laid low. Those bent over and weighed down will be raised up. And all people will say, 'Look, God's handiwork. Praise God.'"
Thank you. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out.
The lifelight was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him. Yet the world didn't even notice. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish.
Helpless, vulnerable, exposed, a frail human baby born amongst animals. In such a manner, God made his home among us, that you and I might be drawn to him. There were none to deny entry to that Bethlehem stable. No security locks, no guards, no barriers of any kind. Indeed, no Christ. God came to break all barriers down, to respond to that love which risks all in reaching out to us. We must also take risks in reaching out to others. The risk of being misunderstood. Risk having our overtures rejected. Risk becoming vulnerable, defenseless. How else can the true message of Christmas be shared? How else can the word of peace, the word of reconciliation, become real in our time and in our place?